Hello, welcome to the Thanksgiving episode of the Farcom Podcast. A lot to give thanks for. We're going to talk about the basketball teams, both men's and women's teams, and also talk about football. Demons finally, good thing to give thanks for, finally get that monkey off of our back, take out McNeese for the first time since 1988 in Cowboy Stadium. We'll also talk about Coach Brad Laird and the future going forward for Northwestern. And we're going to start off here today talking about the game against McNeese. And for the first time since Scott Stoker was the quarterback of Northwestern, Demons head into Lake Charles and Cowboy Stadium and knock off McNeese 24-20, led offensively by Kendrick Price, who caught two touchdown passes, the biggest of which was a 29-yard pass from Zach Clement. With about 10:15 left to go in the game, that gave the Demons the 24-14 lead. McNeese would actually start off this game scoring first, a quick 2-minute, 13-second, 6-play, 70-yard drive. But the Demons come right back, 8-play, 68 yards to tie it in a 3-minute, 13 drive with 9:28 left, which is Kendrick Price's first touchdown, a 7-yard pass from Zach Clement to tie it up at 7. After that, it was all Northwestern. I thought, a really phenomenal game from start to finish. The offense was a bit stagnant early on, but really stepped it up in the first and fourth quarters. And there was a drive at the end of the game after McNeese scored with 4:11 left to make it 24-20. And the Demons ran a 4-minute offense to absolute perfection, burned the clock, and that was it. Zach Clement had a good game, 15-24, 176, 3 touchdowns and no picks. Curtis Williams, 11 attempts for 99 yards, which was very awesome. Jay Griffin, 4 receptions for 63. Gavin Landry, 5 for 40. And Kendrick Price, 3 for 37 and 2 touchdowns. On a defensive side, just an absolutely amazing game. Jared Pedraza ended up being Defensive Player of the Week. He had 4 sacks on the night, or on the day, I should say. Demons ended up with 11 sacks total, just did an absolutely amazing game all the way around. Demons dominated both sides of the line like I haven't seen all year. It was really a positive, I think, way to end the season and should give us some momentum going into the offseason, going into next year. And the offense, for really the first time, I think, all year, looked solid. Even in the second and third quarters when we weren't moving the ball that well, we still looked like we had a rhythm going. We didn't look like we were lost and just throwing things out there. I thought it was a complete game. And I think it also shows, you know, we're not that far away. Talent-wise, we're not that far away from being competitive. And it should be noticed that McNeese a few weeks ago almost knocked off Southeastern, a Southeastern team that will be in the FCS playoffs. And as a team, you know, I thought this definitely was something you could look back and say great stuff. Look on, again, just team stats overall. Northwestern put 151 yards rushing, 176 passing. We held McNeese to 135 yards rushing, which was pretty good. Again, controlled them all the way. The biggest thing of the game, of course, was the sack total. Those 11 sacks was just remarkable. We had 11 for 61. They sacked us 5 times. Something else good, Demons on fourth down. On third downs was 7 of 17, which I thought was absolutely great. McNeese only 5 of 18. A lot of that coming in that last scoring drive they had. Time possession, Demons 30 minutes, 53 seconds to 29 for them. So we won time possession. I think if you just look overall, it was kind of showing where the Demons can possibly be going into next year. And you look at some of the weaknesses we have, and hopefully you can get some guys, develop them over the spring, which we didn't have last year. You know, we had the spring season, a short summer window, and then fall football. And my hope is that we can go in with a spring season, get everything, you know, kind of fine-tune, plug in some pieces here and there, whether it's from transfers, from incoming recruits, or players being developed, you know, and hit the ground running next year. And I think that's going to be a big one for Northwestern to turn the corner. Obviously, you know, overall, still not a successful season for the program, but I think a positive going forward. One person I will have to mention, or two people I should say I want to mention. First one is the beat writer for McNeese on the American Press. You can find his work at AmericanPress.com. It's the Lake Charles newspaper. Jim Gozzolo He's the McNeese State beat writer and a fantastic writer, does a great job covering McNeese. He did, I thought, very fair coverage of the game as well. And one thing he mentioned was that McNeese has talked about moving to FBS. They've talked about moving to possibly Conference USA. And as he put it, that game shows that they're a lot further away than many might think. And I thought it was very even-handed, said that McNeese didn't look focused during the game, and I can agree to that. And I think if McNeese, you come into the game, a team you've already beaten once, and now, you know, you're having to play them again, it's middle of the afternoon. You know, Cowboy Stadium wasn't packed, which is strange to see, and honestly, not all McNeese's fault. They've had a lot of, you know, tragedy go through McNeese and Lake Charles, so I understand that. And I think next year when Cowboy Stadium is back under the lights, which is how you like to see football at Cowboy Stadium. Day games over there just seem weird. But once they get under the lights again, they'll have a new press box, some excitement going on. I think you're going to see the fans start to come back to Cowboy Stadium. But I do recommend going to American Press, following him. A great writer, and he does have some good takes on the Southland. Also going to say, if you get a chance, go to Natchitoches Journal. Doug Ireland, former SID at Northwestern and just an absolute legend. He's been writing some really entertaining and informative articles regarding Northwestern and the Southland. I do recommend following the work he puts out. And last but not least, something I would definitely recommend is if you do go to Northwestern website, the NSUDemons.com, go to Fan Zone on the top of the menu and go to audio and video broadcast. When you go into there, they'll have a little line at the bottom. When you scroll down, it'll say live or on demand. If you go to on demand, there is the audio archives of all the games for Northwestern. And you don't have to pay for the audio. Please go listen to the end of the McNeese football game. It goes without saying that Patrick Netherton, on the last touchdown of Kendrick Price, had just one of the best calls I've heard a Northwestern announcer have. Patrick Netherton does a great job, and I'm very thankful for him. For those of us not able to travel to all the games, whether work or otherwise, Patrick Netherton just does such a great job narrating the games, and the entire Northwestern Athletic Department deserves credit. But please just go listen to some of his calls on there against McNeese. It was absolutely fantastic and phenomenal. And much thanks to him. I will confess, I would like to put some clips on there. I do need to contact people from Northwestern first. I don't want to get in any trouble. And credit to the NSU Athletic Department. When I first started this podcast, they reached out to me and vice versa and kind of gave me a little brief overview of like what's acceptable to put on the podcast, what's not acceptable. And not in a way that they're telling me don't talk about things, but more like legalities, which is a business side of college athletics. Is even in broadcast, even in just doing podcasts, there are licensing companies that Northwestern works with, and of course they have their own set of rules and intellectual properties. So I definitely will look into that and see how the steps I have to take to add a couple of audio clips of Patrick Netherton and some coaches shows. I think that would add to the podcast. So that is the next thing I plan on working on, and we'll be sending out those emails once this week ends with Thanksgiving week to see which steps I need to go through to be able to do that. And as soon as I do get an answer, I'll update everyone. But that is the next plan for this podcast. The other big news coming out of Northwestern after this game was the news that Brad Laird will be retained as coach of Northwestern State in 2022, which I believe is the last year of his contract. I know there are some mixed emotions about that. I personally am in agreement with keeping him. I also understand a criticism. He is 12-28 at Northwestern, which isn't acceptable. That's definitely not the level we want to be in. And we finished 3-8 and 3-5 this year, but did win two of our last three. I had a quote, Marcus Jones, the incoming president at Northwestern, and of course, was in interim capacity. His exact quote is, most college coaches are given at least 4 years to establish their programs. He's been the head coach for four seasons, but this has certainly not been a normal four-year period because of chaos of COVID and other factors. I do agree with that. I think that if you look at everything, the COVID year, I think, definitely put a hamper on things, and then the very short window leading into the season. So I honestly think it's a good idea to give him an extra year. Now, the other side of that is you don't normally mention a coach coming back unless there's one of two reasons. The first reason you would mention a coach coming back is that he was in talks publicly with a major university or another school to possibly transition to be their head coach. The second reason is the results have not been up to standard, and it's your way of coming out and basically saying that this is your year. Either you turn it around or we're going to go in a different direction. Unfortunately for Coach Laird, I do believe this is an announcement more of that second side saying that, look, the results haven't been what we wanted. We need to turn it around starting next year. This is it. My personal thoughts, I do hope he makes it. And I'm biased on this. I've said it before. I've met him before back when he was a GA. And I've always thought he was a tremendous person that I've met. Always very, very friendly. I saw him outside the LSU game a couple years ago and talked to me for a little bit. And just a great ambassador, I think, for Northwestern. So my personal opinion, I hope he gets it turned around. One thing that is in the article I think is very interesting to look at is it does say that Brad Laird has requested and received approval to make significant changes to his coaching staff. I think that's going to be really interesting to see what changes are made, what positions are made. I'm not going to speculate on any of those. I've heard rumors of it, but that's just all they are, rumors. And when you're talking about staff changes, you're also talking about people losing their job and having to uproot their family. So I will not make any comment on any speculation on those coaching changes until it is official. But this is definitely a turning point for Northwestern football. We have to get it turned around. You know, the attendance at home games is not to the level we need it. On the field, performance is nowhere near where we need it. In my opinion, there is no reason Northwestern should not be one of the top teams in the Southland year in, year out. You look where we're at in Northwest Louisiana. You look at the great football programs, high school football programs in East Texas and in North Louisiana that we're very close to. There's a wealth of talent there, a tremendous wealth of talent. And then we've seen players from South Louisiana come in. So we have a very fertile recruiting ground to get players from. And yes, I know there are more teams in the state now. You know, Louisiana College is football, Southeastern is football, which didn't happen back when we were last to power. But I still think even with those teams, we can get it. Of course, now Centenary getting a new team. Even with Centenary getting a team, I don't think that prevents Northwestern from being a solid team. Look at UL Monroe as an example. You know, they're having a successful season. Not great wins and losses, but you look at what they've done. A big win over Liberty, which was, you know, pretty massive for them. And you look at Louisiana Tech, which they're having an off year, but they've been to some good bowl games. They've beaten some major programs, such as Illinois. They've had Texas A&M in. You know, when A&M had Johnny Manziel, they came close to upsetting that team. So the talent is there in North Louisiana, and I think it's just time for Northwestern to finally turn the corner and make those moves to become a formidable team again. And if you're a Northwestern player, I think the big motivation for you right now has to be if you read other writers, other commentators, the general feeling of Northwestern is we were the quote-unquote gimme win along with Houston Baptist. That should be insulting to anyone at Northwestern. Insulting because it's true. Throughout the year, we were the gimme win in the Southland Conference. We're the team that other teams saw and said, good, we can run up a lot of points and then put our backups in. If you're a Northwestern player, the truth of that statement, the truth of that thought should motivate you to get better. And I have no doubt, seeing the way they played against McNeese, that this team wants to get better and they will put the work in. A thing I'm interested in seeing and I'm excited to see is now that we'll have a full off season to implement a new game plan, to bring in new coaches, bring in new players, develop the current players, how good we're going to be in the fall. And I think it's exciting. I trust Coach Lair to get it done. Now it's time to get to work. And before we get to basketball, I'm going to have a quick word from our sponsor. That does keep this free. As always, if you do want to help, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, which does bring viewerships and will automatically download any episode put out free to your phone each week when I put them out. Now a word from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Farkum podcast. Going to talk about the Lady Demons and Demon basketball team. Starting off with the Lady Demons. Had a tough 68-60 loss to Grambling State. And I tell you what, it was a close game. Grambling is not a bad game at all. Not a bad team at all. Lady Demons had a chance to win. Just had a couple of breaks go against them. And it seemed like, especially in that fourth quarter, every single bounce went Grambling's way. There were a couple of loose balls that went right at Grambling, a couple of shots that just barely rimmed in for Grambling, a couple of shots that just barely rimmed out for us. I thought overall, though, it was a positive game to see. NSU was 13-16 free throw shooting in the game, which was really phenomenal. Only a 15 turnovers compared to 20 for Grambling. I thought, we played really well. Of special note, I should say, I thought Monet Bowden played a really good game with 14 points. Candace Paramore looked really good. Showing up on the stat sheet, but I thought defensively, Jasmine Dixon, I thought she looked really good out on defense. I thought overall defensively, we looked exceptionally good in that game. Good rotation, did a good job getting in their defenders' faces. I thought it was just a fun thing to see. After that, Lady Demons on Friday came our way against Louisiana Christian, which if you didn't know that, is the former Louisiana College. They have renamed themselves to Louisiana Christian. Had a good 78-36 win over them. Did what you need to do in that game. Lady Demons will return to action on Saturday. A tough road trip going to Kansas State Saturday, then at Wichita State Monday, and then Thursday at Arkansas State. Before finally returning home December 11th, they'll be at Mississippi Valley State on the road at Yale Monroe on the 15th, and will not return home until a game against Tarleton State on December 18th in Prather. So that is going to be a really long road trip, and it's going to be a good character building thing for the Lady Demons. Of course, Kansas State, a tough opponent, going to have to really come out with that one. That game will be an 11 a.m. start, so if you do want to follow, watch it or listen to it on NSUDemons.com. It will be an 11 a.m. start for the Lady Demons. Going on Demon side of things, just a really tough game. Tough stretch for the Demons. I started off really last Monday with that bad 95-48 loss to SMU. In that game, I said that I wasn't too concerned because we played well. That game in a slow start. Problem is that kind of became a reoccurring theme this past week. First on Friday against Louisiana Tech, a slow start, ended up losing 83-64. Never could get out of the hole. After the start, I thought we started playing well, but just you can't play a quality opponent like Louisiana Tech and expect to win. Then I think the worst loss so far of the season, got absolutely crushed by UL Monroe on Monday, 96-66 in a game that was played out in the middle of the day in Ruston. We were down 50-29 at the half, never win the game. Start off really slow. They got up quick and just could not recover. Big thing, we had 25 turnovers to the 14 for them. Anytime you're negative 11 in a turnover battle, it just won't do well. I found for the Demons, I think what's happening, and this is something I experienced when I was coaching basketball, is a lot of times when you're trying to turn the corner and you've kind of struggled a little bit, you get down quick. Instead of just playing fundamental basketball, on offense, you start to force shots, you start to force passes, which leads to more turnovers, and of course, more transition points for the opposition. And I find watching Demons the last three games, that's really been what's happening. We're going down instead of being patient, working the ball in. we're making passes we shouldn't make. We're trying to dribble in places where we don't have space to dribble. Taking shots that are contested and not being patient for the open shot. And it just starts compounding. And then on the defensive side, I think you get to a point where you're almost too nervous and being too careful, trying not to make a mistake. And what ends up happening is you end up making more mistakes than you would have normally made. So for the Demons, got a lot to work on. I do think the talent's there. I think we showed early in the season that we have a competitive team, but we have to play smart basketball. Going forward, for the Demons, it doesn't get any easier. Starting off Sunday at 3 p.m., Stephen F. Austin's coming in. And I'm just going to say right now, that's the best team we're going to play all year. That is a heck of a team, Stephen F. Austin. And if we don't play better against them than we have the last three games, it's going to be a very, very ugly game. And then after that, we'll go on Tuesday at Houston, another really tough opponent. And then we'll be playing at UL Monroe on Saturday. And we'll return to Prather December 11th against Dallas Christian. And then a tough road trip on December 14th at LSU, who's a very athletic team in their own right. For the Lady Demons, I think going forward, just keep doing what you're doing. Play fundamental basketball, play within a system, keep working it, and I think the Lady Demons will keep improving if they can do that. Not saying they're going to go undefeated going forward, but I think you're going to see a lot of positive results, and I think they'll be competitive in conference once that comes. For the Demons, you've got to get back to basics. Plain and simple, you've got to get back to basic basketball, take care of the ball, work the ball around, and be patient. And I think if the Demons can get back to playing patient basketball, picking and choosing their spots to run, picking and choosing their spots to make the difficult pass, I think you're going to see more success. But the Demons cannot win and will not have good results if we don't rotate on defense. We keep making those mistakes after mistake. And then it ends compounding. We've got to get fast starts. We cannot play from behind. Positive with basketball, it is a long season, both teams, and I think you'll see improvement. I do fully expect both Demons and Lady Demons to be competitive in conference. Looking around conference, I tell you what, Nichols looks really, really good. Nichols has been playing phenomenal basketball, really good defensive team, so definitely want to keep an eye on. Also, very impressed with Coach Schlesinger out at UNO. I try and watch them as much as possible. Coach Schlesinger is just such a guy I have tremendous respect for, and watching him coach is also, very enjoyable, and watching a UNO team is enjoyable to watch, and they look very, very talented as well. I'm impressed the way they play basketball. They're going to be a tough one. Southeastern looks improved. Haven't seen much of McNeese or Houston Baptist, but or A&M Corpus Christi or UIW, but long story short, though, from what I've seen of Southeastern, Nichols, and UNO on the men's side, they're definitely going to have to make some improvements before we hit them. Women's side, I've only got to watch Nichols so far, and they didn't look bad. Not great, but definitely a beatable team. I did think they looked like they had a little bit of size from what I saw, so definitely a team you want to play fundamental basketball against. Looking at the FCS playoffs, two teams from the South have made it, UIW, which will be playing against Stephen F. Austin. Winner of that game will be playing off against Sam Houston State, so a really tough one, always the winner of that game. I think for UIW, the tough one in that is UIW's defense is suspect. I think Stephen F. Austin has played a little bit tougher schedule, and I think they have a pretty solid and physical offensive team. So it's going to be a tough road for UIW. On Southeastern, they're taking on Florida A&M, another solid team. Florida A&M has a really good offense. I think they are athletic across the field. Tough thing for Southeastern, I think it poses the same problem with UIW, is that Southeastern can move the ball really well, but their defense has been suspect. And that may hurt them in this game against Florida A&M. And even if not, their next road next week would be at James Madison. And I just don't see the Lions coming out of James Madison with a victory. Going to be an interesting FCF playoffs. I always enjoy watching them. A really interesting potential matchup is that possible Stephen F. Austin-Sam Houston second-round game, especially with Sam Houston ending that rivalry due to moving to Conference USA. With that being said, If anyone at Stephen F. Austin would like to play a rivalry game, there is a large wooden statue of Chief Caddo. Let's bring that sucker out of retirement. Let's start playing for the Battle of Chief Caddo again. Even if it's not the week before Thanksgiving, which was the game I really enjoy watching, it would be great to have that rivalry back. I always thought the NSU-SFA football rivalry was really unique. The trophy is amazing. Let's get that thing out of retirement, even if it can't be a yearly thing. But at least let's play more times than not. I think it'd be a fun one to play. As always, I do want to thank you for listening. Hope you have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. If you're going to any Thanksgiving festivities during the week or the weekend, please have safe travels. And as always, have a great week. Until next week, in our next episode, Farkum Demons.